This is Focus West Michigan for Monday, March 23, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki with your local news. That stop sign extending from the side of a Grand Rapids public school bus will soon include a camera. WGVU's David Limbaugh tells us about a bus fleet designed to keep students safer.
But when I see drivers ignoring our red lights, it's terrifying because I know what can happen and I know that all I can do is watch.
Stephen Narwald is a school bus driver for Grand Rapids Public Schools contractor Dean Transportation. He says parents have been requesting interior and exterior bus cameras for years. Now GRPS and Dean are partnering with Bus Patrol, equipping all 135 buses with interior cameras and exterior stop arm cameras. These will record passing vehicles when the stop arm is extended and flashing red. Democratic State Representative Christian Grant supported the bipartisan legislation that launched the program.
In Michigan, school buses are illegally passed more than 2,000 times every single day. That's nearly 400,000 dangerous incidents every year.
Motorists caught illegally passing a school bus will receive warnings over the next 5 weeks, with full fines and penalties beginning April 27th. Director of Government Relations and Strategic Partnerships for Bus Patrol, Sam Olson.
In communities where programs like this are active, 9 out of 10 drivers who receive a citation do not reoffend.
The cameras are provided at no cost to GRPS. A portion of citation revenue will pay for the program. I'm David Limbaugh.
Players can now take the field at the expanded Meyer Sports Complex in Rockford. WGVU's Dee Morrison has an update as construction wraps up.
The $13 million project in Rockford is nearing completion, marked by the Aquinas College women's softball team's recent home opener at the new Alro Steel Championship Field. Mike Gusweiler, president of the West Michigan Sports Commission that owns and operates the facilities, says the expansion is designed to address gender parity by providing championship-level facilities for women's sports while boosting the local economy through sports tourism.
We see a lot of travel tournaments, a lot of teams coming from all over the Midwest, and they're staying in our hotels, eating in our restaurants, and contributing to our economy. New dollars that otherwise wouldn't be there if we didn't have this facility.
Since 2015, the complex has generated nearly $70 million for the local economy. This expansion allows for 200 additional teams annually, projected to bring in another $1 million in yearly visitor spending. The project refreshed existing facilities and added parking, a playground, championship softball field, 2 flexible-use turf fields, and 20 pickleball courts.
Those yet have to be coated and cured, and we need the temperatures just right to do that, but they will open up yet this year.
The full grand opening is scheduled for May. I'm Dee Morrison.
People struggling to climb up and down at the Laketown Township Beach are damaging the steep dune and causing erosion. So, as WGVU's Phil Dawson reports, the township is installing a $115,000 set of stairs.
I believe the new stairs are very important.
After the unsafe 30-year-old set of stairs were removed last year, Laketown Township Parks and Recreation Commission member Mary Jo Bertolino told the Board of Trustees, people are finding their own way up and down to the beach.
They were returning up the dune and making their own paths. This was destabilizing the dune. I believe stairs from the beach up the dune are extremely necessary to help with the dune stabilization.
It seems as though the opinion is we have to have stairs.
But resident Patrick Gentry says Laketown Beach Park was established 100 years ago and most of that time has not had stairs.
We didn't have stairs for
70 years. Stairs were put in early 90s.
And the dune's still there.
Supervisor Stephen Ringelberg says the township is moving forward with an approximately $115,000 stair replacement project.
People having to climb up and down the dune without stairs is simply causing a lot more damage.
Engineer Matt Lewandowski says the stairs could be in by the end of summer.
I think this project is not only going to serve the residents, but it's just a benefit to the community in general. It's a hard climb up. It's very steep.
It's an easy climb down. It's a hard climb
up. Hard climb up.
I'm Phil Dawson.
At Grand Rapids DeVos Place, local small businesses are getting the inside track on major contracts from major companies before they go public. WGVU's David Limbaugh has the details.
The Grand Rapids Office of Equity and Engagement is hosting Connect Local GR, a buyers and business exchange. The concept is a reverse vendor fair where, instead of small businesses promoting themselves, buyers host tables, sharing what they buy, how vendors can qualify, and upcoming opportunities. It's an opportunity for for local businesses to build relationships before bids or proposal requests are released. Participants include Corwall Health, Steelcase, Gentex, Grand Rapids Community College, Meyer, and Gerald R. Ford International Airport. City and county departments will also be on hand. The free event features what it's calling Resource Alley, where small businesses can learn about certification, gain technical assistance, and access to capital. The Connect Local GR Buyers and Business Exchange takes place at DeVos Place on Thursday, April 2nd from 10 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. I'm David Limbaugh.
Coming up soon, WGVU's Shelley Irwin previews the 2026 Lakeshore Literacy Summit, but first, news from around the state. A set of 9 bipartisan Michigan House bills would restrict local government's ability to set certain kinds of zoning rules. Supporters say the goal is to lower housing costs. For example, municipalities couldn't set minimum parcel size requirements for single-family homes at more than 1,500 square feet. That's just over half the size of a tennis court. Wayne County Commissioner Melissa Dobbs says these bills dismiss local voters and community planning work.
Supporters of these bills point to house shortages due to declining permits, rising house prices, and regulatory costs. Their belief that these sweeping mandates would solve the housing shortage.
Dobbs says other issues like high interest rates and labor costs also play a role. Most of the bills haven't yet gotten a vote in the full state house. Proposed bipartisan legislation would make water more affordable for Michiganders, supporters say. The set of bills would establish a dedicated fund helping residents in need afford water. Sylvia Orduño is the director of the People's Water Board Coalition. She says families should never have to deal with not having water for basic necessities.
Households have had to make choices on what they can cook or how many times they can flush the toilet because they've had to figure out how to ration water.
Some opponents have said water affordability legislation doesn't go far enough to help families in need. Others say it puts too much burden on cash-strapped utilities. The number of campaigns trying to get questions on Michigan's November ballot is dropping, but as Colin Jackson reports, remaining campaigns are staying optimistic.
Campaigns to create ranked choice voting and to pay for schools through taxing the highest earning Michiganders have suspended their efforts. Instead, they're aiming for the 2028 election. At times, canvassers carry petitions for those two and a third effort to stop public utilities and some state contractors from making political contributions. Sean McBrady is with that third campaign. He says the loss of an ally in the field isn't slowing them down.
We've been on this upward trajectory where in February we collected 3 times the number of signatures than we collected in January. This month, I think we're going to triple it again.
Meanwhile, a referendum campaign to restore a minimum wage law that lawmakers changed last year only has a few days left to submit its own signatures to get on the ballot. I'm Colin Jackson.
Focus West Michigan is brought to you by listeners like you. To support the show and everything we do here, visit WGVUnews.org and click the donate button. And for a weekly dose of news right to your inbox, sign up for the WGVU newsletter. Don't miss the 2026 Lakeshore Literacy Summit on the 27th. Collaborators include Reed Muskegon and Grand Haven Rotary. WGVU's Shelley Irwin leads the conversation about the necessity of literacy for all.
It's a wonderful opportunity. Anything with the word literacy has an opportunity. It's the Lakeshore Literacy Summit come March 27th. Many involved in the partnership to bring this to fruition. Two such to talk about and to represent. Melissa Moore, you no stranger to our airwaves with the many hats you wear. What brings you to this organization?
So I am proudly a member of the Muskegon Rotary Board and the chair of the Literacy Committee, as well as being the executive director of Reed Muskegon. So a lot of different reasons I'm here.
And so much happening with both of your worlds, correct?
Yes, for sure.
Talk to me about you, if you would, Dale Swihart, and your representation.
I'm the current president of the Grand Haven Rotary Club, and I'm delighted to be here to promote this upcoming event.
Wonderful. I trust from both of you, I'll start with you, Dale, Rotary is strong on the Lakeshore.
It is. And this event actually is happening because 3 incoming presidents at the time, about a year ago from now, got our heads together at an event called PELS, which is training for incoming presidents. We said, we need to do something in our area locally. Our clubs are so close together. Why aren't we cooperating? So in the midst of that conversation, the topic of literacy came up, and here we are a year later creating this summit.
How important is literacy in your world, Melissa?
Well, it's not just important in my world. It's really important in everyone's world. And I think that is kind of the driving force behind the summit. Over half of the adults in our country read below a sixth grade level. In Muskegon County, I'm not as familiar with statistics in Ottawa County, but in the state of Michigan, we are 44th when it comes to third grade reading in the country. Muskegon County, over 60% of our third graders are reading below grade level. So literacy impacts everybody's life. If you're a business owner, it impacts your workforce readiness. It impacts people's ability to interact with your business, voting, driving, all the things, managing your health, all the things we do every day are impacted by literacy.
Hence, let's have a summit come the 27th. All right, again, Lakeshore Literacy Summit. Is this a first time or is this an annual, Dale?
This is the very first time, so it's a bit of an experiment in terms of cooperating between the three clubs on a local project, but also the topic. And we're hoping we can get the public out to hear more of the story.
Let's do the 101s. Where am I headed?
This is going to be held on Friday, March 27th. At the Trillium Event Center, which is on Van Wagner Road in Spring Lake Township, just north of Grand Haven and just south of Muskegon, partway in between.
That makes sense, yes. Who needs to attend, Melissa?
So I would say anybody who is interested in finding out more about how literacy is impacting our economy, our communities, our education system. You don't have to become a tutor. You don't have to become a volunteer. Business owners, elected officials, community members, anybody who just wants to know what's going on and maybe get inspired to figure out a way that they can be part of the solution.
Nice, leaving with those action items with an extra hop in your step. All right, is it a day, Dale?
It's a morning event. It's a Friday. We start at 8:30 in the morning with a continental breakfast and a keynoter, who is Melissa, who's going to be keynoting for us. And we end by 12 noon. And we think it'll be a good way to spend the morning. Let me tell people how they can register, because there's still time. If they will, and this sounds a little bit self-serving, and I don't mean it that way, but it's the one place we have the flyer posted. If they go to grandhavenrotary.org, on our website, you'll find the flyer. And there's a QR code. It's free, and it takes you 10 seconds to register.
Yes. All right, Melissa, what will you speak about?
What will I speak about? So again, I think it's important to just lay the foundation so that people understand the depth of the issue. I always say if illiteracy was a healthcare issue, it would be considered an epidemic. That's how critical it is. Our governor made it one of the highlights of her recent State of the State, so we know that she's paying attention. It's a bipartisan issue, so everybody should care about this. It can't just be a Republican or Democratic thing. It's going to have to take all of us together to create solutions. So what I'm going to talk about is helping people understand the depth of the issue, all the great things we're doing to try to solve it, and how anybody can find a way to be a part, big or small, in the solution.
Dale, what else will the morning be filled with?
Besides Melissa's keynoting address, we'll also have four workshops, and these I think will be really fascinating. I mean, the keynoting will be great too, but these will be fascinating. One is, what is the role of the brain in reading? How does the brain help or get in the way of a person's ability to read? There'll be one on how to read to your children or grandchildren, how to be more effective as you read to children. We have one on how to become an advocate for literacy issues. And Melissa, I'm missing one.
The literacy ally training.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead and...
So that's a training that Reed Muskegon developed that we have done all over Muskegon County and outside of the county. We've done it for credit unions. We've done it for every single department of the city of Muskegon. We have done it for educators. And basically what it does is helps you, if you are in a public-facing role, be able to identify signs that somebody might be struggling with literacy and know how in that moment to help them complete whatever transaction it is that they're trying to do, help you get the information accurately that you need, and conduct it all with dignity so that the person who may be struggling isn't embarrassed, that they leave feeling like they've accomplished what they came in to accomplish. And it's something that anybody, we've done it for credit unions, like I said, healthcare providers, really simple ways to change your marketing materials so that you make sure that what you're putting out into the world is accessible to, again, half of the adults who are reading below sixth grade.
And Shelley, there's one more component that I don't want to overlook. We have invited agencies from Ottawa and Muskegon counties who specialize in literacy, in tutoring programs, and to give individuals an opportunity to connect with those groups and possibly become volunteers. So we're hoping that as people become informed, they will also be inspired to step up and say, this is an area where I could really make a difference in our community.
That will be, I imagine, one of the significant action items is how do I walk out and then make a call to volunteer, correct?
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, Read Muskegon does a lot of that work in Muskegon County. There's Read Ottawa and Ottawa County. United Ways are really active in recruiting and placing volunteers in early literacy. The libraries.
All of the libraries are going to be represented, too.
Yep, the libraries will all be there. Some of our other community organizations, the ISDs. So it's really helping people understand that there's a whole scope and variety of ways that you can get involved.
And one should be reading to kids and grandkids as early as the womb, correct?
You know, Shelley, I thought of another perspective on this. Yeah. There's that famous saying, you know, you can give me a fish and I'll eat for a day. Mm-hmm. You can teach me to fish and I will eat for a lifetime. The same thing is true of reading. That same principle applies. There are so many people that have a hand tied behind their back because they are illiterate and they just can't do what it takes to pull themselves up.
Yeah.
And again, it's happening right in our own backyard.
It is.
So there we are.
Yeah, I always say everybody every day interacts with somebody who's struggling to read and they just don't know it. So yes.
What do you leave us with, Melissa Moore?
What do I leave you with? Wow, that's a big call. I would say...
Get yourself to the summit,
I would say,
one.
Please join us at the summit. It is free. I think you will come away with a lot of great information and inspiration. You will understand, again, why we keep saying it's going to take all of us together to really create long-term solutions. So I think that's the biggest call today is please come and join us.
And good things are happening with Read Muskegon?
Yes, they are, and that's for another time, but we are getting ready to open our Literacy Summit in downtown Muskegon Heights in June, so very exciting.
Dale Swihart, give me details on how to get registered for this March 27th.
Okay, once again, if you will go to grandhavenrotary.org, you will find our flyer posted. It has a QR code. Use it, and it's a very simple process. This is free. Reminder, it's Friday, March 27th, 8:30. To 12 p.m. at the Trillium Event Center. And we hope that, and walk in. If you don't register and you know about this, walk in. We'd love to see you.
Yes, thank you all for making the trip. Enjoy the summits. May it be the first of many. Melissa Moore and Dale Swihart, thank you very much.
This has been Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Monday, March 23, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki. Our audio operations manager is Rick Bierling, and our news and public affairs director is Patrick Center. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll be back with more news and events in West Michigan on Monday. Thanks for listening.